From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will conclude his eighth message in a series expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is Sins Laid on Jesus. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Tender Comfort. The text is Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. A mother's comfort. Ah, this is tenderness itself. How she enters into her child's grief. How she presses him to her bosom and tries to take all his sorrow into her own heart. He can tell her all, and she will sympathize as nobody else can. Of all comforters, the child loves best his mother, and even full-grown men have found it so. Does Jehovah condescend to act the mother's part? This is goodness indeed. We readily perceive how he is a father. But will he be as a mother also? Does not this invite us to holy familiarity, to unreserved confidence, to sacred rest? When God himself becomes the comforter, no anguish can long abide. Let us tell out our trouble, even though sobs and sighs should become our readiest utterance. He will not despise us for our tears. Our mother did not. He will consider our weakness as she did, and he will put away our faults only in a surer, safer way than our mother could do. We will not try to bear our grief alone. That would be unkind to one so gentle and so kind. Let us begin the day with our loving God, and wherefore should we not finish it in the same company, since mothers weary not of their children?
To sing.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, he will bring the final portion of an exposition of the last phrase of verse 6, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is making 7 statements about the text. First, it emphasizes a divine action. In every respect of the work of redemption, it is God who takes the initiative. Then it is an exhaustive action. Both the guilt and the punishment of our sins were laid completely upon Christ. Furthermore, it is a necessary action, for there was no other way to save sinners and to maintain God's justice. It was a righteous action for Christ to stand as the substitute for guilty sinners, and it was a loving action which reveals the depth of God's love for sinners. Also, it was an effective action, for it accomplished all that God purposed. Christ made a one-time, all-sufficient sacrifice for sins at Calvary. Finally, it was an irreversible action, for it was done forever, securing for Christ's people eternal salvation. Now to conclude this message entitled, Sins Laid on Jesus, here is Dr. Cairns.
When the wife, the bride of Christ, his church, his body. If I could use the words reverently, his alter ego incurred the debt of sin. It was legal, righteous, just, and good. That the divine head and husband should bear all the debt and pay all that debt. It is a righteous action. So it's a divine action, an exhaustive action, a necessary action, a righteous action. From all that you'll see, certainly it was a loving action. The Lord hath laid our sins on Christ. I say we read those words and they just hardly hit our consciousness at all. We've got so used to them. Everybody knows those things. No, they don't. If you ever really felt that, it would melt your heart. The Lord did that for us. The God of heaven did that for us. The Lord hath laid on his own Son the iniquity of us all. The us, as we have them described in the earlier verses. Those who would not believe God's word, verse 1. Those who could look on Christ and see no attractiveness in him, no beauty in him, verse 2. Those who had no desire for Christ, verse 2. Those who despised him and rejected him. Those who hid their face from him. Those who thought that he was worthy of death. Yes, those very people can say, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. These are the real sins of the worst of sinners. What love is this? You think of the love of the Father in giving his Son. Sometimes think that's an aspect of divine love that is greatly overlooked and undervalued. It is good for us, and we will refer to this in a moment, it is good for us to emphasize the love of Christ in giving himself for us. But we ought never to underestimate the love of the Father in giving his Son. 1 John 4 verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love of the Father in giving the Son, and then the love of the Son in giving up himself. The Son of God, Paul said, loved me and gave himself for me. It's a loving action. If you would understand the love of God, you do not look for mere gifts. One of the distressing things about modern American evangelicalism is how much it's taken up with things. The love of God is measured in how much you know of health, how much you know of wealth. That's the charismatic delusion that has affected so many otherwise orthodox believers and churches. Now, it's good to have the gifts of God. But if you would understand the love of God, you go to Calvary. The man who has never been melted at the cross has never understood God's love. There you have such an exhibition of the love of God that even the angels of heaven couldn't understand it. Peter says they stretched their necks to get a glimpse of this, that God loved sinners enough to give his Son to bear their sin and save their souls. A loving action. It was an effective action. action. Time forbids that we look at that in any great detail. But when it says he laid our sins on Christ, it means that this was real. And it means that God effected by that action all that he intended to effect. It means that when he laid our guilt on Christ, our guilt was borne by Christ. It is not, therefore, borne by us. I referred to a famous English preacher a couple of weeks ago who spoke on this text and said that it is possible for Christ to bear all your sins, and yet you struggle on with those sins right into hell. It's possible that Christ bore your guilt, and yet you end up bearing your own guilt. But that can't be. If God laid all our sin on Christ, then our guilt is gone. And if God laid all our punishment on Christ, then our punishment is gone. What an assurance of salvation. My sin laid on Jesus. What an answer for Satan, the old accuser. What though the accuser roar of ills that I have done? I know them all and millions more. Jehovah findeth none. Why? They are covered by the blood of Christ's atonement. What an answer for Satan. And what an argument for service. This free justification on the merits of the blood of Christ is the greatest motivation for service. There are people who say, well, if all your sins were laid in Christ, and all your guilt is borne by Christ, and all your punishments borne by Christ, and all your sin is dealt with past, present, and future, that means you can live whatever way you like, and it doesn't matter how unholy you are, you can sit down and say, well, I'm going to heaven anyway. I can live any way I want. Those people only show their ignorance, first of the Bible, and second of the nature of God's salvation. Because, look at Romans 6, you'll find the key to this. Our legal union with Christ is inseparable from our vital union with Christ. Our justification is inseparable from our sanctification. We find in Scripture that when a man has the guilt of sin rolled away, when a man is liberated from the awful bondage of having to do in order to obtain the favor of God, at the end of his life, hoping to have the pardon of God, when a man is freed from that, and when he's brought into the knowledge of God's favor, and he starts out his Christian life in the assurance that he has the pardon of God, my, he finds that there's a liberty to be holy. The liberty of love. The liberty of gratitude. You find that Paul says, he has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. He has taken away that slavish fear that keeps men ground down. He has given them the spirit of adoption, the spirit of holiness. And when he has done that, he has made it possible for people who otherwise couldn't serve to serve the Lord. I realize I'm only touching on a vast subject this morning, but let me say this to you. If you would be free to serve the Lord, it must be because you're free from the guilt of sin. If you are laboring under the guilt of sin and wondering if you have God's pardon and how you can procure God's pardon, you will certainly not be able to serve the Lord. In Romans 6 verse 7, there is a very interesting, we'll take verse 6 and 7, a very interesting statement, knowing this, that our old man is or has been once and for all crucified with him, that the body of sin, or the mass of sin in us, might be destroyed, rendered powerless, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, literally he who died in Christ, because he was one with Christ, he whose sin was punished in Christ, he whose obligation to the law was met perfectly and finally in Christ, is freed from sin. The word freed is the Greek word justified. He's justified from sin. If he's justified from sin, he's freed to serve. It's an effective action, an assurance of salvation, an answer for Satan, and an argument for service. And then finally, it is an irreversible action. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now the devil would like you to believe that the Lord may lay your sins on Christ and then take them back off Christ and put them on to you. But that's something absolutely foreign to Scripture. The Lord laid sins on Christ, not for a day or for a year, not until you stumble, but he laid them on Christ forever. And he put them away forever. It's an irreversible action. Here is the security of the saints. Psalm 103 is one of the lovely psalms of testimony that you have in the book of Psalms. The psalmist there is describing what God has done with his sin. And he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. There is an absolute removal. I have often pointed out the geographical notes in that text are carefully chosen. It's not as far as the north is from the south. That is a measurable distance. There is an exact distance from the North Pole to the South. You start going north, and after a certain number of miles, you'll start going south without ever changing your direction. But east and west are not like that. You travel east, and you'll travel east and never stop traveling east. You travel west, and you never stop traveling west. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. An irreversible action. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Ultimately and eternally, there are only two sin bearers possible: the sinner or the sinner's substitute. That means that ultimately and eternally, either you bear your sin and its punishment forever, or Christ takes that sin and its punishment from you. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. How do you get to be among the us? How do you get to know that you're among the us? Remember what I pointed out from this text the last time that we looked at it. The us here are not lesser sinners. In fact, they're the vilest of sinners. The us here, rather, are penitent sinners. They are confessing sinners. They are sinners who, realizing their sin, come for free grace from Jesus Christ. That's how to know you are among the us of this text. I trust today that there is not for one man, woman, or child among us to leave this meeting without the joyous assurance that his sins or her sins were laid on Jesus. May God bless his word to all our hearts for his name's sake.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.